a choice right now, between fear and love. It's just a rock.
Out of the dark night of ignorance and into the shining light of truth.
Expounding reality.
A population of citizens capable of critical thinking.
We don't see things as they are, we see them as we are.
There's a level of reality where everything dissolves into an ocean of energy.
We empower our experience by insisting on our authenticity.
That's really profound.
Very.
Expanding. Reality.
Welcome to Expanding Reality. I am your host, Brandon Thomas. On this incredibly wicked awesome episode, Evan Howell joins me to talk about his childhood freaky woo-woo lights outside the window stuff, as well as his triangle craft with occupant inside and windows and such, with witnesses of his own, apparition walkthroughs, and all kinds of crazy freaky woo-woo with this guy. But also, he is part of the Zed Squad. I'm calling them the Zed Squad think tank group that just is absolutely going to be giving you portal technology very, very soon. So we go really deep onto his work with colliding lasers, as well as his volt stick Tesla technology stuff he's working on his house. Evan's one of the coolest and sweetest dudes I've ever talked to. Absolutely adore this brother and friend of ours. So check the link in the description for his Instagram, as well as his YouTube, of course. And check out our Afterthought link down there. A great way to support your favorite show here. But Evan and I really go for it, and we howl at the moon in this one, guys. So definitely check us out. Great way to support your favorite show. But for now, and without any further ado, Evan Howell. Evan Howell, welcome to Expanding Reality, brother. You are a dear friend. You're, of course, an insider. You've joined us for damn near every hangout. I'm pretty sure you're 100% attendance on those, dude. So it's amazing to get you over here, because we've heard a lot about your work and what you've talked about. And you and I have been buddies for years. So this is really, really cool to get to introduce you to the audience. So we're going to go ahead and just do it up top here. All the ways to find him will be located down in the show description, as well as our Afterthought. So join us for that, guys. There's more to this conversation after we ended on this officially. Looking forward to that. So, Evan, in your own words here, brother, just tell us a little bit about yourself, my man.
Oh, golly. All right. Let's see. The best way that I'd say to come about where I wound up today is just really enjoying music and kind of a hippie-ish upbringing with different backgrounds and locations, and then the music sort of led into just exploring other stuff, and that led me to our mutual friend, and really been expanding since then. I don't know, that's kind of the one sentence recap, I would say, if I had to sum it up.
Nice. Yeah. Well summed, sir. Well summed. Yes. And you and I have a mutual friend, of course, a brother of all of ours, Dave Zed. And we have been attending at least one of the Zed talks, and you guys are fascinating. I swear to God, y'all are the ones that are going to be solving time travel and portals and interdimensional. And this is the group right here, your think tank, Dave Zed's think tank for these Zed talks. I mean, Polymath is over there. You've got Devin Winter, you, Zed, of course. It's just a fascinating group of minds over there, literally solving all of these things that people think these craft are doing when they're flying around above their heads. Whether the psyops or not, you guys are taking that and going, maybe there's science to that and we can do something with it. And it's fucking awesome to see what you guys are doing, honestly. And you work with lasers and shit, dude. So what got you into the laser stuff, man?
That's the total mind blower. I saw a podcast with Dave, and I was thinking, wow, this guy is definitely onto something. And I started kind of following along with him for a little while, and eventually I was to the point where I think I could try to mess around with some of the stuff myself, like what seems like the safest method out of all the stuff that you could do possibly. And to me, for whatever reason, lasers seem like, I'm fascinated by lasers anyway. Why not try to see what happens.
And all the things I've been inspired to do from some, it's been a lot, but it's not been lasers. Like my wife and I have been going and doing the history thing with the courthouses around Texas, these small towns. And they're, you know, the Tartaria stuff, everything's buried and it's older and everything's got fire narratives. And you were like, no. Instead of that, I think lasers are going to be a safe thing to go into here. And lasers are fascinating. We found out that actually you can burn things with cold lasers and, you know, these different temperatures between moonlight and sunlight and moonlight and shadow and things like this all ties into the frequencies that you're working with. And as well as you're shooting them through freaking crystals and stuff like this, man. What's going on with that?
I think, I started looking into maybe some ways that, because you have to get it down to the angstrom level to actually rock them into each other. I started looking into some ways to maybe pad the odds in my favor for getting some magic to happen in terms of the collision of two beams. And it looked like maybe some crystals had some capacity to both spread the signal out. So I was maybe, you know, more buckshot of a signal for the laser into each other versus just the micro angstrom. So I started playing around with different prisms and crystal combos for helping the photon maybe collision happen a little easier. That was the idea anyway.
So does this, okay, if I'm getting you right, because I want to know what angstrom level is, but is it because when you're shooting two beams of lasers at each other, they're so small at a level, the angstrom level, is that right? That whenever you try and line them up to hit them exactly to make them collide, you miss just so. And so if you run it through a prism, you can spread the light out to make it thicker so it's easier to hit.
Yep, exactly.
Dude, that's fascinating.
And there's I think it was Newton, but somebody came up with whatever, when you hit it through a crystal, there is more visible, or there's more spectrum than we can even pick up that goes, so there might be even wider of an array that's going through, but it definitely, for the, in terms of the beam thickness, you can see that it for sure messes with it.
It's like the Dark Side of the Moon album cover, right? Or the one white light's going in and then the rainbow's coming out of it, the prism effect. You can just unlock or split. Is that having to do with that all the color spectrums are contained within that one white light, but when you hit the prism, it separates them and splits them out? Is that how it works?
I believe so. And I believe if you flip one on the other side, you can get it to suck back into one color again.
Like what?
The opposite way. Yeah.
What the What are you guys doing, dude? That is so cool.
And allegedly, and this is just a word in the street, but I've asked some of my other musicians' friends, but allegedly Pink Floyd did some work for Lockheed Martin and Skunk Works or something, but right around the Dark Side of the Moon album, I think. But it's weird that they put the prism on there like that. I would agree.
We're going to have to investigate this further. We need to get you to the next frequency theorist and we'll break this down. Actually, we're doing The Moon is Bullshit on the next one. So join us for that one and then we'll also talk about this. So,
absolutely.
You're a musician, man. You've been playing for a long time. So did you start with bass or what's your music career been like?
I guess if you count even through the kiddos, like my uncle got me a drum set just to upset my mom. And I loved it. And I would always play that.
My brother had
one.
It was very effective. It upset everybody, actually. Yeah.
Oh, it's to this day, even like if you can play, like you find not a lot of people appreciate it.
Right. Yes. Because of what it took to get you to that good level. Yeah.
But I still play a little drums. Like I like that. I play a little keyboard because my grandmother had a keyboard and I started fiddling around with that. But my main instrument is bass. I picked up guitar in middle school and then I wanted to join a band, so, and they needed a bass player, so bam, that's it. And I just stuck with it.
Dude, bass is an underrated instrument. It's I find it's one of the ones that I will gravitate towards and appreciate the most in music just simply because it ties the rhythm into the melody. You know, the kick drum, music people out there know this or care, but either way, we're talking about it. The kick drum, usually the bass player times his attacks to the kick drum. So as you're getting a rhythmic, you're getting a melody as well. Even though he's running five or six notes, the attacks are on bump, 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 you know, with the kick drum. And so it's fascinating when you think about the importance of it being not only melodic, but rhythmic as well. I love bass, man. I started on bass and then switched because I needed more strings, but I love it. You know, and again, what's your favorite bass part in a song? Do you have that?
Oh, golly. Probably right now it's Tony Levin on Indiscipline with King Crimson.
Okay. We'll have to check that out. All right. I like Spacehawk, dude. Forget the meantime. God, it just drives the verse. Fuck.
Primus would probably be right up there, too. Jerry was a race car driver. It's pretty nasty.
All good songs. We have great taste in music. Have you taken a spin at the upright?
The upright? Oh, yeah. No, I would love to get one. I did have a fretless for a while, and anything without frets is destroyer because I'm like really retentive about hitting the right note. Like, I'll stop in the middle of the song if one of the strings is out of tune. Oh, it's out of tune. Look at
that. It's challenging. That fretless stuff is fascinating, man. It's a different world, man.
Can you play fretless?
I've had a fretless guitar that I plunked around with for a little bit because I worked at a guitar center for a little while in Houston. And so we just had instruments like constantly, right? And people would bring stuff in that was weird and we'd get first shot at it. They'd give them fuck all for it or whatever. And so, yeah, there was a few fretless acoustics that I saw that were really interesting, very challenging to play. Fretless bass were a little more interesting to me just simply because of the sweep. And that made me think of an upright more. And I love upright bass. Like, I think that's one of the coolest fucking instruments ever designed. It really accentuates what I'm talking about the joining between melody and percussion, because it's so, you get that slap on it, man. And it just drives its own, you know, it's its own train. It's badass.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. We're with the bow for sure.
Oh, fucking hey. And so versatile, right? Look at us going off on upright basses. That's how you know we appreciate this shit. But we'll get you onto the next Frequency Theorist. And you guys check that over on Patreon. It's completely free. We just have it there for whatever reason. So, Evan, you're doing some really cool shit. And you said that you had a couple of things that you wanted to share with us. While you're setting us up and pulling that up, I'm going to remind the audio-only audience that there's a link down there that will get you to the video version of this show, and you guys can check it out. He's got some really cool slides to show, and he's, again, doing some amazing work. So highly recommend the video version. Evan, thank you for advance for putting this together, dude.
Oh, no problem. I'm unbelievably grateful, man. Is it sharing the screen now, or?
Oh, you are looking good, man. Looking good.
All right. I guess I'll just read through them, and then you can hit me if you how the heck did I wind up made of waves, and what business is it of someone outside of the learned establishment? And that's where I'm at with it today. Anyway, I could switch back to individual particle effects tomorrow, I will. Woke up floating is the where I I'm pretty sure I got scooped up or whatever. I don't know, the windows are getting covered up, or it's covering up the text a little bit, but it's all right. A side note that I figured was worth mentioning was my mom was born on Halloween, which is her, and my grandmother always claimed that she was a witch because of it. So I'm here for it. But
you're gonna be joining us this Halloween for the hangout, for the camp out at our place, dude.
I can't wait, dude. I really well, it was fairly late at night, and I was definitely fully asleep, but I remember being in bed and just waking up because for whatever reason I have the capacity to go from like full slumber to bazooka alert like instantly. And I remember waking up and I'm like, I'm above my bed right now, like, what's going on? And then there was a massive white light outside the window, white, golden. I kind of remember going sort of that way, and then blink, the next thing I know, I was in the closet, like in the fetal position, and floating like sketched out. I tried to scream because I obviously was in the closet and I couldn't. And then I floated to the ground and like the door was shut. I wound up opening it and I woke up my stepdad and he was like, "Oh, you were sleepwalking." And I'm like, no, I definitely wasn't. And all right, go back to bed. And, but that was pretty sure. I'm pretty sure I got some went down there. But
how old were you?
Four or five. Yeah, four or five, I think.
Dad military or mom military?
My mom was born in Arabia at a military base, but not actual military. Tons of military in the family, though, and nothing but respect for them. But
yeah. Did this happen in Denton? Because you're from Denton, Texas. Shout out.
I think this was in Austin, actually. It might have been outskirts of Austin, like Jollyville.
That makes sense. Okay. Keep Austin weird.
Oh, yeah. I have one of those shirts, though. I love that. So this is the next thing that I jumped up to was the bass playing, because I figured that was for the relevancy. That was probably the next big milestone. It seems to have, just in terms of like working with energy and stuff, it definitely like, you know, as a musician, like you get maybe a little funk going and today I'm going to play some Beethoven or something. You're like, oh, all right, everything's good.
About how old were you when you picked up your first instrument to play?
To actually play, I was like 15 or 16, right around
same.
My first day.
Fucking driving. Same, dude.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. That's interesting.
And right around the same time, my buddy, Rest in Power, came back from the suite. His parents were kind of all over the place with like alternative therapy stuff. And he came back from a weekend Reiki master training, which again, I'm not judging anybody or talking crap, bless his heart. But he did come back with a two-sheet Monroe Institute astral projection guide, which I definitely didn't believe him so much on the Reiki, but for whatever reason, I was like, wow, there's something to that, like, Monroe astral projection. I definitely started trying, and we both started trying it, but I don't know if he gave up on it or not, but I stick with it over the years, and I'm not telling anybody what to believe, but I definitely think it holds water for one way. Yeah, this is the midday. There was a fast forward to about 2007. I lived in Massachusetts at the time. It was like a really old house, like maybe 1816 or 1870s, like really old lawyer house. We were all standing around in like our living room area, just shooting the shit during the day. And we upstairs in the attic, like it was like the living room, and then off to our left was the attic stairs. And we heard something stomping around in the attic. I'm like, what's that? And next thing you know, the attic door flew open, and we had blankets in between each of the doors to kind of trap the heat, because I don't know if you've ever lived in New England, but if you pull some janky moves to try to corner your heat in, but
I'm Texas. We do the same thing with the cool, though. Yeah.
Oh, that's true.
The windows in the summer, it's a cave in the house. Yeah.
It blew the window, or the one blanket right there, like somebody was walking through it. It blew the one right next to me, and then right through me, I felt like a warm burst of whatever, like a cloud of warmth. And then to my right, that blanket blew, and then the other blanket next to that, and then the kitchen door blew open. We heard stomping go down the foyer stairs, and then the bottom door blew open. This is right in the middle of the day. We're all like, all right, well, that happened.
like something just charged through your attic, came, blew the door open, charged through where you guys were, blew downstairs and blew that door open as well?
Yeah, in the middle of the day, like, well, four, I don't know if the fifth person was in the room or not in the house, but four of us were all just sitting there talking. Yep.
Damn. Anything else happened in the house other than that?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, no, there was all sorts of stuff. Yeah, we went, the band Dopog went super dark side, and there was a tape that got like partially erased and stuff. Like, it was pretty sketchy, but like the other one that really stands out that was for that house was me and the other dude and Dopog were hanging out, and it was pretty late at night, like 2 or 3. And we heard like a party downstairs. We're like, what the fuck? And like looked out the window and there was lights down there. You could like, we have like the, it was an old grill heater where it was like just basically like a big vent right down to the downstairs. You could smell cigarettes and food cooking. You could hear people talking. We're like, dude, I'm like, oh, whatever, the guy's son must be down there partying it up. Like, good for him, right on. And then like after a while, we're like, dude, we gotta go check this out. What's going on down there? And we opened the top door to inside, and the second we hit the landing, everything stopped. And we went outside, dude, nobody in there, nothing. Like, all the lights were on, absolutely nothing for people. But yeah, that was another one where, like, I've never smelled mystery food before like that, both the noises and like heard the clomping around and stuff. But yeah, that house was pretty hot, I think.
Damn. Was there any history you knew about it? Like, somebody died there, Indian burial ground, any of that?
No, it was right across the street from a really old church, so it might be on a graveyard possibly, but
hallowed fucking ground, man.
I think they wound up tearing it down. Honestly, if they did, the last time I went by there, I think they smoked it.
The house?
Yep.
Oh shit. Damn. How long did you live there?
That was 4 or 5 years.
Okay. Enough.
It was,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, it was long there was enough. It was consistent, so but those were the big ones where I was like, oh golly.
Damn, man.
Yeah, that was and then I fast forward to getting my fluffy buddy.
Love your dog.
Dude, my dog, guy. He's my best friend. He absolutely is. And for whatever reason I wound up getting into the I don't know if we're allowed to, or if it's kosher to name drop waking up the meditation app or whatever, but that's basically what.
Hey,
what
name drop anything you want, man.
All right, fucking, it's definitely, my buddy was like, oh, I use this. It's like, it's nondescript. Like, it gets you whatever. There's a bunch of flavors you can try. Like, definitely worked for me. And I was like, fuck, I don't have $200 for a meditation app right now. And he's like, oh, just tell them that and they'll give you whatever, a scholarship for a couple years or a year. I'm like, okay. And they actually did. And I'm grateful it's helped, because it definitely for sure got me on the meditation path. But to throw it back to the astral projection, I think the way that they intend it for astral projection is you're supposed to be able to meditate first and then go to work on your astral body, but that's not the path that I took with it.
You just shot out there and just started exploring space and the Luba and all those planets and shit out there, whatever's going on.
Yeah, and then once starting the meditation for me anyway, like that other version folds into this and you can kind of maybe steer it a little better. But each person has their own technique too, also, so I wouldn't ever infer how to work any magic for anybody.
Well, tell us the magic that you work, man. Maybe your technique could be somebody's technique if they learned it.
Well, it's like the first way, the thing that really for a breakthrough for me in terms of that would be like the way the Monroe method shows you on the way that I have, because it's the old before they changed it to the actual gateway or whatever. You're supposed to visualize your hand, like you put your hands wherever, and like when you close your hands, you should be able to see like the light of it, the light outline. And then eventually, like, you're supposed to, like, if you have your eyes closed, you can see whatever's going on with your field. Versus when you meditate, for me, when I meditate, and then I try to focus on my, whatever you want to call it, light body, astral projection, it definitely seems more defined now. Like, there's like, fractals to it, I'd say. I don't know. It's like trippy.
And this is something you physically see?
Yeah, like, well, when you close your eyes, yeah.
So what's the difference then in just that you're imagining that that's what's happening?
For me, the authenticity part of it, like, there's, like, there was a Bashar video recently that said something about, you can use a technique, like you envision something that's totally you, like unique to you, like you're 100% you, and then something that's not you at all. Like, so for me, the thing that's not me at all is Boesky. Like, I don't do narcotics or, and again, no judgment, I don't do narcotics or hard drugs at all. So if I throw that aspect of it into the astral projection thing and my true aspect part, and I can have that, I'm like, oh, that's on point. So the rest of this is on point for me. That's it tracks like a kind of like a needle, I guess.
Interesting. I'm curious how people visualize this stuff, because I'm not one who can like close my eyes and see like straight up pictures in my mind and shit like that. I'm not a visualizer, right? And so when you say visualize my hand, I can think of a hand, but I'm not like, I don't feel like I'm looking at it with some third eye or my imagination's coloring a hand in front of my face or anything like that. And that's why I'm curious about, you know, how this is visualized and is manifested with people, especially contactees, because you guys seem to have some really interesting insights with this stuff that that I am wanting to make sure you're questioning the validity of. That's all.
That's excellent. That's an excellent point. Like for moving my hand, when I first started out, it would be like maybe. I mean, again, it could be imagination, but I truly don't feel like there's like a part where you, I think when you lock in, that you can tell, like, oh, that this might be coming from a static source or my imagination, maybe, or this is like authentic energy moving through whatever. To me, man. But you could, when I close my hand, close my eyes, and I would like make different motions with my hand, I could visualize that with the light or whatever. It'd be like bluish white or whatever.
Got you. And again, it's just not a superpower I have. So I'm just so curious about it. I'm so fascinated by it. And also, I've, you know, heard some interesting things about the Monroe Institute and about what they're playing with that. And I know that it's all kind of up to you, but I know also whenever you wear a uniform of a team, you're going to be associated with that team, whether you do your own thing or not, you know, kind of a thing. And so if it's kind of filtered through that lens, there's kind of clauses associated with those types of things. And so again, I just want to make sure you're safe, because I love you, and you're asking the good questions, because you are. And that's all. And just because I'm very, very curious, because I don't have the experience of this. And so I think also that, you know, I don't think I'm afforded that, I suppose, is my superpower, because I'm not overwhelmed or whimsified by anything of that nature. I think it's fascinating. I think it's very interesting, but none of it speaks to me personally. So therefore, I'm not convinced that one is whatever. Does that make sense? I'm very objective when it comes to this. And so I'm just so curious about how you experience it.
Well, there's so many approaches too.
Right.
Like that, even within the Z group, there's probably about 7 or 8 different maneuvers, and I would never claim that any of their moves are wrong. And I'm sure that's likewise for me.
Yeah. Cause what's wrong? You know, I mean, if it's working for you, if it's getting a result, you know, what is, you know, wrong about it, you know?
And that might be your superpower too, or like there might be something someday where you like whatever, pick up a coaster or an arrowhead, and then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I know when it's going to rain now. Like, think, like, you know what I mean? Like,
I got a trick knee from playing soccer growing up, so I do know when it's going to rain, actually. It starts to get sore a few days before. I'm like, rain's coming.
Oh, that counts. That's a start.
Yeah. I would go with that one, though. And whenever something does actually, like, manifest or show itself, or I see something or experience something, I am not going to be able to shut up about it. So, you know, it's going to be what I really experienced, but I just have not. We're still nothing. So I think it's just fascinating, though, when I get to talk to people like you, and you're just like, yeah, I was in my closet and I was floating and, you know, there's bright light and shit. And I'm just like, what? And then the thing blowing through your house, never had anything like that, ever. Nothing even close. And then you have all these just exceptional thoughts that you're getting and these connections and these intuitive guidances to do things that I've tried that don't work for me or that I haven't done properly or haven't been aligned with or blah, blah, blah. So it's just interesting whenever I hear people talk about this. Again, I just think you're fascinating.
Oh, no, I'm grateful, man. No, it's, well, and who knows, too, like maybe there'll be like a huge flying triangle hanging out over you someday, and then you'll be like, oh, crap, all right, well, I'm glad it came today because I'm ready now. But like that, when, if it was 10 years ago, you know, I might have knocked my socks off or something. Like, again, I'm not.
I know, like, it was 42, but Trying Flyangle would be a badass name for a band.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would, actually.
Put it on the list.
Well, I'm going to, actually. Oh, no. Oh, now we're jumping into the.
There you go.
The laser times. This up in the right corner is what I originally tried for the setup. And then you can see on the left there, I don't think it's a video. Oh, it is.
You can see how that beam's thicker on the inside, dude. That is so interesting. Because the one coming in is so thin. But then you have this fat daddy on the inside. And it looks like it gets thicker as it bounces between the prisms. Is that right?
Well, yeah, and when it's going in, I make sure that it clips off one of those pyramid guys, so it gets the fatten out.
Whoa!
But the one on the right there, on the bottom right, that's half of the symmetry of it for the original crinkler. I call it the crinkle setup because when I had my face right in there, I'm like making sure it's lined up, like. Oh, what's going on here? It looks good. And then I hear like a kind of a like cellophane or almost like a mice chewing kind of noise. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's weird, man. That's what's going on. And then I realized it was coming from right above my head. So I stopped and the noise stopped. And I'm like, I think that was from my rig. So I took the picture on the bottom there. And then the next morning, I'm like, oh, God, maybe I was just tripping. Now I'm going to try it out again. Make sure, well, it's all lined up. And I fired them up and I had it going. And then this time it went from a crinkle to like a real like high pitch, like pretty fast. And it was building. And I stopped again and I'm like, oh, gosh, I gotta check with some people and make sure what's going on here. But that was the first one where I was like, I'm pretty sure I got some funky stuff happening here. I don't know what it is, and I just stumbled into it, but I'm pretty sure this works.
What? Have you introduced any sound frequencies to this? Because when you start saying that, you know, a reaction had a frequency to it, like a pitch, like a tone, you know, I'm thinking about introducing patterns to it, like single tone patterns, and seeing if it affects, I don't know, the area, if you can find the resonant frequency or even a sympathetic frequency of the one that it's hitting and see what introducing that would do. I mean, maybe this is portals, bro. Maybe everything in your room, including your fluffy buddy, just floats off the ground. That'd be cool as shit.
I thought there was way more steps to get anything to happen than what it took. Like, I was planning on adding a sonic element, and then I was going to add some other stuff too. And that's what the cake analogy is for. It was like, it's like taking a cake out, turning the oven on, and like not even dumping the mix into the bowl, and then you turn around and the cake's done and frosted. You're like, oh shit.
What?
Yeah, like I expected there to be like a lot more that I needed to do. And I definitely don't think I'm the first person that's ever done this, but I'm the first person that's got that result that I've heard of, but for the crinkle anyway, but I'm sure somebody else has done it before, but it's so fascinating to me to just try to see what different results pop up with this stuff.
Yeah. Have you swapped out your crystals? Because what do you have there? Rose quartz and amethyst? Is that right?
Yeah. The purple one is the amethyst quartz, and then the pink one, which I think we're covering up right now, is the you can see it. Yeah, is the rose quartz.
So have you swapped one of the amethysts out for the rose and bounced your laser off that and done a?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yep. I've done different magnet configurations. I've done a couple different bounces off of like hematite, and there was a fake diamond that I found in the ground that was actually pretty interesting. It definitely seems like the different crystals that you rock it off of have a unique flavor type of action going down.
Wow. Have you tried introducing copper or anything with this? You know, because I'm curious about the electroculture effect of this.
There is actually a copper racetrack underneath that platform right there. There's like a loop. And then I have one of the splitters that I tried was a copper, and there was a different effect too, because on the actual in front of the beam, like sometimes I'll put a guitar string, so you get a fatter, it actually spreads out like a full 180, but yeah, copper gave a different effect for that too.
Dude, I wonder if you plucked the guitar string, you know, if you shot it like at that angle to where you could just pass the string and then you pluck it and see what that did.
Oh yeah, I've tried that. Yeah.
God, of course you have. I'm sure you bounce this off like your dog's butthole and frying pans and just anything laying around your house. You're like, what will this do?
I do. Yeah, literally. The guitar string one was awesome, but I was going to try to get two of them, but it was such a pain in the butt to get it lined up just right against the strings. But yeah, it does. It translates the. You see the wave go kind of like. Whoa. Instead of just a dot. Yeah.
God, of it to be cool. How interesting, dude. So what do you think you're doing with all this? Do you think you're opening a portal? Do you think you're solving time travel? Do you think, you're just finding a better way to cook popcorn? What's going on here?
With this one, hopefully eventually a portal, but I definitely, I'm not anywhere near the full gravity laser craziness. I just the lining up the geometry on the exact way the waves mix, I think, is kind of where I'm trying to work my way through it, which is, as a total layman of 3 years ago, definitely a steep challenge, but I enjoy it. It's definitely fun for me. So
cool. I wonder if it's going to be like one of these and you build like a platform over it, you know, and you step on it and it goes whoop and you're just gone. Or if it's, you know, a series of these where you make a series of really tiny ones and then run the laser through it. And by completing this circle or something, you have a ramp in a circle that you step through, and that's what creates, you know, the field or something. You may find when you start doing this that you pose two, you know, or configure two like right angles, because it's all about vectors and shit, right? And Z pointches and whatnot. It's amazing.
Dude, I think the original stone stargates are legit. Personally, so I think that's one flavor. And then I think for sure that there's a way that you could do what you were just talking about. And then I think that the Malaysian flight flavor of warping is like a whole other, like the orb method thing. I think that's different.
Yeah, maybe you put this thing on a ring and you spin it. You know what I mean? You get your dog to run in one of those things, right, and stick this on the outside of it, and then it'll just run. Have you seen those big-ass loops, those big-ass hamster wheels for, like, dogs and pumas and shit?
Oh, not yet. No, I haven't.
Huge.
Yet.
And then you could power this thing with him, you know? God,
that's
cool.
I'd love to give it a shot.
I mean, how interesting is just, like, the process of this? Like, you're playing, essentially. You know, it's just like a sandbox, but it's like a sandbox of science, man. You're, like, doing really interesting shit with lasers and prisms and shit.
Well, I didn't think it was even, the whole science of it was even a thing. I've been pretty hard in the tinfoil hat area for decades, but to see the extent of like maybe what's possible with even just the laser end of it is, I'm open to it, but yeah, I wouldn't have even guessed that I would have been playing around with this 3 years ago, for sure. Not at all.
Well, I'm glad you are, dude.
Oh, shoot, me too. this is another one where I think that I put sound on. I seem to have got an effect. Like I busted out the pyramid prism, and I had the green and the purple rocking into this in the opposing corners, bottom. And it was actually more dramatic than this before. And I shared it with a group, and somebody mentioned, hey, there's some stuff going on there. So hopefully let me see if I'll play it and see if it. I didn't hear it on my headphones, but there, right when I was like, I'm trying a new move, it's like,
oh, is there audio with it?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Did it not play the, that's
it did
all right.
Not, that's okay. I think it's a feature you can share, at the beginning, but no worries at all, dude. If you want, you can just unshare your screen, pop it back up, and then hit share sound and then go for it. If you want to.
It's up to you. I don't think, because I just listened to when we played it through that time, and I didn't hear it. You have to have headphones on or have it through a system.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay.
And I didn't even hear it on these, so I'm not sure if the keynote clipped it or compressed it or something, but...
No worries, dude. It looked cool as shit. Something I was thinking about is you could light a room with just one laser, it looks like, because you just put a bunch of... you know, corresponding pyramids and reflectors around the room, and then they would bounce off of one another, kind of like the ancient said that they used to light interior tunnels with no fires and things like this. They had those mirrors where they would reflect light from the outside and just keep bouncing light off of mirrors all the way down a hallway, you know? But you could do that to light a whole damn room with that.
I've thought of that. You know, when I went to Cosm, that was one of the things that the Chapel of the Sacred Mirrors, I was like, oh man, these guys need that. Like, they could just bounce some lasers from right here. That'd be such an awesome addition.
Ask him about it. Approach him, man. You're the guy that needs to, you know, introduce that lasers can be used for, you know, vibe around your room and stuff. I mean, I'd listen for sure.
Oh man, if I knew who to talk to there, I absolutely would.
Fair.
And then this is ye old Volt Stick. Like I was saying with the lasers, I thought it was the safest thing, like in terms of I'm not really worried about zapping myself or messing around with whatever, and until I realized maybe I already kind of was a little bit. I don't know for sure. I haven't perfected the detector, but the episode with I think the Quantum Doug. And then there was one where you and Dave were outside doing something, and then a combination of some memes about the old buildings and the way they make the domes and stuff, like the composite of how it, with the antenna to down to the ground level.
Yeah, the anode cathode, all that.
I was like, oh crap! Well, I'll give it a shot with just the most basic. Like, I want to make. Not like crappy, but like a janky, like anybody could throw it together idea, basic of if this concept would hold water or not. So all it is a stick, and then this little that little guy going up the side is a wire, and then the separate coil. Pardon me. Separate coil in the middle is copper, And then those little outside guys are popping. And wherever I put it, it seems to draw a little flow no matter what.
Whoa. So do you think this is what the Tataria buildings and all that free electricity buildings, you know, previous civilization, this is what they had sort of integrated on top of the spires and then they would just tap into this?
Dude, if I had to bet, yeah. If I had to bet. This thing's not even up to my chin barely, and it definitely, I've mentioned it to a few people in passing and they're like, oh yeah, those are sweet. You gotta make it like 18 feet, right? I don't think so.
Can you run anything off of this? Like charge your phone or anything?
I think if I haven't tried yet, but I think if I put I have a little capacitor set that you drop it in next to it, and then if you run the positive into that, so it can build up a little juice, then you could hook it into a phone. But I haven't tried that.
Dude, with those 18 footers, you maybe get like an inverter and then run, I don't know, your house or your garage or something on it.
Oh man, if it was safe, I would definitely try to make the monster version of it.
Just talk to those people who've been asking you about the 18 feet one. They've got it figured out, or they know somebody who does. They're like, my buddy on Kansas, you know.
He's like, well, he tried the 17 foot one and it didn't work that great, but.
But that 18 footer, bro. Yeah. It's amazing.
Oh yeah, this is it in action outside here. There is sound, but it doesn't really matter. It's just in my backyard. Like it's pretty nominal for in terms of the flow, but.
And what would that equate to for power? Like, what could you use that amount of power for?
Oh, as it is right now, probably like maybe a very small light, like, or you would still have to modify it to get a little more juice. But I think there's ways that you could beef it up as it is to maybe make it at least like a night light or a sprinkler head or something if you wanted.
Dude, like to think that you just have a few of these laying around your yard, you know, time together or something, or they just have lights on top of them. So this is what lights your house at night, right?
Well, yeah, that or that, like this thing I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. The gentleman from the Meadows, that came to mind too. Like if you need like a little camera battery exactly. or something. Like where you're definitely not going to have juice and you're not going to be on the radar for anybody.
And think of all the places you go to where you're trying to record and people's batteries die, meaning that like there's some sort of electromagnetic interference where it will just drain your energy, you know? And if you take one of these out there, it's being replenished as it's being drained, right? Because it's not a drain. It just funnels. It funnels energy out of the fucking air, the ether.
I would hope that would be interesting as hell if it didn't in some areas. Like as long as it's upright, it definitely seems to draw flow that I've noticed.
Man,
and that would be there. It'd probably at least be somewhere near the area. Like, hopefully that wasn't hot that you could put it. And then, but as everywhere that I've tried so far, that thankfully has it's drawn positive.
Did you think of mounting one of these on like a camper or trailer or something, driving around and having it be your power source at some level, or seeing again, you'd be able to get variant levels on where the optimal place is to park this thing? Would you get some good data? Just have, you know, voltmeter hooked up to it the entire time you're driving, so you get readouts constantly and see where nominal places are and see if like it ley lines or something to have something to do with it.
I think the detector would be good for that too, but like there's supposedly a bunch of ways that you can detect where the ley lines are, but you can use the if you had one, I think there's a magnet way to do this move too, but again, that I haven't gone down that alley yet. But if you had one of the magnet versions, I think you can cool the world around it with that, as long as it's grounded, I think.
So interesting. It's just really cool.
Oh man. Oh, thank you. No, I'm definitely, I'm all the way down the rabbit hole on this one, all the way. Yeah, speaking of the detector, this is it. Jeremiah from APEC, we were going off about dowsing, different ways to, like, kind of to the point of the astral projection, like different ways to check your radar and or see where energy lines are. He said, oh yeah, you just take four compasses. And then I'm like, oh crap, yeah, that makes sense. So if any one of them you're going along, they should always read north. Any one of them you're walking along wherever, and then one of them goes wonky, you check it, you spin around, and you can check that area for where the hotspot is or why it's going wonky. Like, and it seems to work. The first one I made was a little wacky, like the edges were too close on one side, but it definitely seems to work. Like I've tried it around on different spots in town and stuff, and it seems like you'll get a steady, like, oh, the north flips when we walk over here, and then, like, for whatever reason, and, like, you step back, and it's very interesting. But again, like, the human capacity to do it versus, like, double check it with the thing. I made it with a hinge so I could have it in my pocket and have it shut and flip it open and just check something, like walking around with it.
So have they ever all pointed to the middle? You know, do you think that you'll find a center point with this thing if you get it to a fine enough dialed in location geographically to where all of them would point to the middle? You know what I mean?
I think that's possible, but yeah, I haven't seen it yet. Like I wonder if that would be like some, like in like California, that spot where you can stand on the hill, like it looks like you're standing up, like straight, yeah. Like you're actually, I wonder, that would probably be somewhere where I bet they would go totally bonkers.
Absolutely. How interesting, dude.
Dude, the way to, like, oh, I want to check and make sure if whatever is going on in my laser time is, like really going bonkers. And I've had this thing go a little wacky before too. So absolutely. Yeah. Worth trying if you have that. The one thing I will say about this is that, there was a challenge that says at 90 finding non-magnetic hinges, and so eventually I had to make a demagnetizer to demagnetize it myself, which was a whole challenge in itself, but I put that's on my YouTube channel, but that's, I wanted to mention that too. That's why it says 90. And then I did try to find one with the laser going backward, one of the beams going backwards. This is kind of an older video, but I think if you watch the back there between the two mirrors, it will, I think it goes backwards. It might be the one on the off the other side of the layer, the mirror. That's a dodecahedron prism with another set of magnets on it. And it was clustering up inside, like it started to make little blotches inside there, and then they stuck together a little bit. And it was bounced off that one little, like coming in one point and bounced off the hematite back into it. And I don't know if it was visible or not, but one of the beams was going backwards, I think. Which, again, it took me a while to realize, like, I was doing whatever and kind of trying to pay attention to the alignment, making sure that the prism was all set. And then I just, like, as like an aside, I'm like, wait a minute, what's going on with that? I turned the humidifier on. Wait, what's going on with that one? I think that's going backwards. Which is new to me, and I 100% that's fun for me.
So what happens when it means it's going backwards? It was shooting back, the laser was shooting back into itself?
Well, I something was going on with the wavelength where it got between the two mirrors, where it got, for whatever reason, that would be like a time anomaly, I think, but the first two parts of the beam for where it goes from the right off screen into the mirror. That's going straight, and then from the second mirror into the prism, that's going straight, but the middle part, for whatever reason, is not. I haven't figured out how to tune that down to different areas or whatever, but I did notice that it does happen occasionally.
Damn, because yeah, that's time travel, right? If you're sending light backwards, you know, we're photons or whatever, then man.
And technically the base hit pyramid would be photon to phonon conversion too, because if there's no, all it is lasers and crystals, there's no sound added already, so somehow there's sound coming from just light, which
damn
blows my mind still. I don't know how it works, but I enjoy finding ways to play with it.
Hell yeah.
Oh, I think that was it. That was the last slide.
That was incredible. I mean, how absolutely cool. You were doing just some amazing, amazing shit, dude. I mean, where do you see this going for you? What are you looking forward to your work bringing about and doing next?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, like, hopefully eventually making like a livelihood off of it and like hooking people up with, because I don't think handing, I agree with Dave with the method of like, it's funnest/best idea to learn for yourself. Hopefully, I think there's like a real wide range of stuff that maybe is about ready to bubble up to the surface all around. And I'm here to learn it and share it and enjoy it with everybody as much as possible. I'm either behind or ahead of the ball in any way, then it doesn't really matter. I'm having fun.
I love it, man. Absolutely love it. Well, dude, then on that, man, we'll cut it here. We'll remind everybody that all the ways to find you, Instagram, YouTube, and the like, are going to be located down in the show description. We are going to hop into this afterthought, so make sure you guys check us out. We're going to go balls deep in this thing. Evan, before we let you run, though, buddy, we always encourage everyone to let us know, you know, what gets you out of bed every morning, what gives you hope, what keeps you moving forward, man.
Oh, golly. Me, personally, it was definitely the... When people say bad stuff about like there's going to be a war or their economy is going to collapse or whatever, or I'm bummed out, the auto no touche is like, what if there was no reason to have an interview? What if you didn't, you know what I mean? For me, working towards making that happen for everybody is, that would be a blessing. All around, like that's the reason for me to get out of bed.
Just want to take a moment here and thank that amazing man, Evan Howell, for hanging out and having that fascinating conversation. Absolutely check the show description links down there for his Instagram and YouTube and all the ways to keep up with this fine gentleman. You can also check the link down there to support your favorite show and sign up as an insider, because Evan Howell joins us for every damn hangout and astrology and you and everything that we do, Evan is part of. So if you want to come hang out, get to know more about our community, more about that guy, definitely come join us. Also, a great way to support your favorite show while we're on the subject here is joining that link anyway, and then getting access to the afterthought that Evan and I go into, where we really howl at the moon here on this one, guys. And it's a blast. So check it out in the show description down there and all the ways to support your favorite show here. Also want to mention our journal series got an update with the Mindful Expansion Volume 1 Walkabout Tutorial Video Series, which is linked down in the show description. Redigital Publishing, our publishing house here, has its own YouTube and all kinds of stuff now, Facebook and all that shit. So we're going to link down there how to find that. Would love the feedback on what you guys think about how I went over the journal, because it's a complete breakdown of the Mindful Expansion Journal. You can learn that entire journal in 30 minutes. I have 25 videos that are broken down, very bite-sized, and then there's one full that walks everything through. I highly recommend you guys check it out. If you're interested in the journals, check out the link below or expandingrealitypodcast.com/books. And yeah, that's what I wanted to say on that. So an incredibly cool thing. I'm very proud of myself on this. It was a motherfucker to get done. So I hope you guys like it, or at least get some value out of it. That was the whole point, is so you guys can connect with the journal more. and we can articulate the different points so nothing's missed, but also just show you how much freedom and customization is in that thing as well. So anyway, that's it on that. All the links down there. Join us for the hangouts and afterthoughts and stuff in the links below. Thank you, Evan, again for all this. And before I let you run here, go out into this crazy, wicked, awesome world that we live in and be good to everybody you come across. Pick up a piece of litter. Open a door, you know, shit like that. Smile. Treat doors as smile cues as you're opening for other people, like you're knocking out so many things at once there. And then get out of the left-hand lane, please, and thank you if you got somebody behind you wanting to pass. And of course, and above all and anything else, go out into this beautiful, weird-ass realm at times that we live in, guys, and just be good to one another. Thank you so much for watching, listening, subscribing, checking out the journals, and just being awesome. We'll see you next time.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.